A science fiction episode by Kingsley Amis. The scene is Procyon 3, a distant planet. The time is the future.
Absolutely amazing. I still can't get over it.
I beg your pardon, Dormer. What is amazing you?
You know, Caddy, the way these dead crafty machines of yours keep on at their job, hour after hour, without being told what to do next.
Dormer, if you're interested, the machines have already been told, as you call it, what to do next. You see, this operation of clearing and leveling the landing area is a simple one, involving much repetition.
What happens if they strike a snag, Caddy? You know, something they aren't programmed for, or whatever your jargon is.
Well, as Caddy will tell you, they ask him for help, and he tells them what to do.
Yes, Jacob, but these are imprecise terms, which we may use to explain such problems to the military mind.
Well, that's frightfully considerate of you, I must say, Caddy. You and Jacob certainly do your best to make a fellow feel at home. Ah, at home? What am I talking about? There's only about half a galaxy or so, just around the corner these days.
Well, the machine's actually been striking many snags, Caddy.
No, Jacob. But soon I'm afraid they will. This area of vegetation we're about to penetrate looks rather tough. The stems are very thick and the roots deep.
Mm-hmm. Haven't you cleared pretty well enough space already?
Well, our friends of Occupation Group tell me they need a landing grid 3 kilometers long. Although their spaceship measures barely one third of that. So I must clear 3 kilometers and build a grid of 3 kilometers. My machines will amaze you again, John, with their speed in grid construction.
Good stuff. Naturally, I simply love it here with the 5 of you. But a couple of thousand more friendly faces will buck me up no end. Hey, Jacob?
You can say that again, as you put it in your horrible archaism. Do all soldiers talk in period like you?
In trouble. Lofty is in difficulty.
How do you know it's lofty? It might be shorty.
It appears on my control panel here that it is lofty. And in case I am absent from the panel, lofty's alarm hooter is different from shorty's. One moment.
And he's flashing his headlight in case we're all dead. They think of absolutely everything, Jacob, don't they?
They have so far. Well, Caddy, what's wrong with lofty?
He struck some soft ground, mud or something. He doesn't know yet whether he can get out without help. He's trying... Here we are. That's that, I'm afraid.
What? A dirty great 50-foot steel tower like that knocked out by stepping in a puddle?
Oh, certainly not. It will only mean a slight delay. He must be trapped somehow. Otherwise, he could easily extricate himself unaided. As it is, I must get Shorty to pull him out.
I can still hear Shorty whining away.
Hello, boys. What's all the excitement? I've never heard such a row.
Hello, Martin.
You're just in time for the show, Martin. Lofty's put his foot in a rabbit hole, and Shorty's going to help him out.
This should be interesting. More interesting than my own occupation this morning, anyway.
What about that stuff you found last week, Martin?
Oh, that radioactive isotope of strontium they termed that. It was present in such small quantities that unfortunately...
What now, Caddy? Shorty's stuck in the mud, too?
No. No, that's Lofty's alarm circuit. It's responsive to unexplained movement, putting it crudely.
Well, I can't see any movement from here. I'm going to take a closer look.
Well, take care, John.
What does that mean?
It means Shorty's seen it, too. Oh, well, we needn't worry. Both machines have repeller devices that will burn up any adversary. I hope John will be all right.
Oh, if he's well able to take care of himself.
It's that blaster of his I'm thinking of. It develops 200 kilowatts, and he's rather trigger-happy these days. He could easily knock a piece off Lofty or Shorty without intent.
John wouldn't do anything foolish, I guarantee.
What was that? Did you see that?
No? What?
Where? It's gone now. About 20 yards in front of Lofty. Seemed to be rising out of the ground.
What was it?
A sort of hump. dark brown in color and glistening. Look! My God!
John's got his blaster out. Be careful, John! Careful of the machine!
All right, Teddy! Everything's fine!
You know, that thing's extremely inaccurate. Except at short ranges and all that metal, I must warm him.
Oh, now, don't be a fool, Caddy. Stay here.
John, hold it. Wait till I come.
Whatever that creature is, he seems quite peaceable.
Yes, for the moment. But it is getting pretty near lusty.
Display, Martin?
Incredible. Shorty just seemed to mole off the dog. I can't understand it all.
Well, no doubt Caddy can tell us.
He looks pretty sick.
Yeah. He'll be blaming himself. We'll have to stop that.
What a mix-up, Caddy.
See what a brilliant man Dr. Katsumata is, Jacob. He can't trust the most trustworthy man of the entire expedition. So he deserts his post. And the machine is lost in consequence.
What's Shorty still making a noise for, Caddy? Is there more danger?
Shorty is telling us that Lofty's brain is destroyed. Well, he should know it. Shut up, you! John didn't have time to shoot. Lofty opened up on the creature. Then Shorty opened up. Unfortunately, the energy bolts from Shorty's repellers had to pass through Lofty to reach the creature. All three were in a straight line, you see. I saw it was going to happen, and I could have prevented it if I had been here at my control panel. But instead, I was busy teaching a soldier his duty.
Is Lofty hopelessly damaged?
I'm afraid so.
Oh, let's go and make sure anyway.
Oh, what about that creature?
John is taking a look.
Thanks a lot, Canty, and it's very clear.
I think we must simply modify Shorty to do some of Lofty's work.
Sounds reasonable. Doc, can we have some more coffee?
State into general practice and tonopandy as soon as we get back, that's me. All right, coffee for six, is it? If you don't object to my joining you, that is.
No, not at all. Well, with the removal of that unsettling kilting influence, we can get on. Any more recommendations, Caddy?
Yes, John, I think we must start working at night if things don't look up tomorrow.
You are going to need an awful lot of light and plans.
Well, not much, I think, Martin. Don't forget Shorty can see in the dark, and I can monitor him from inside the scout tower. Of course, if there is a snag...
That's just it. We struck a little snag this afternoon, if you remember. If one of those creatures turns up at night, I personally would rather like an illumination of sorts. I don't know about you. Anyway, let's hear Bill on this.
Well... Fortunately, much of the creature's body remained uninjured by the bolts from Lofty and Shorty. There was no important damage to the part that seems to serve as a head. Its eyes are degenerate and almost useless, and it must depend for orientation upon its long, whip-like tentacles or antennae. In these respects, it resembles the little dormouse which I've been studying in my laboratory. My tentative conclusions are these. The dead creature, I've nicknamed it a roller, because of what its mode of movement seems to be, the roller is a nocturnal animal of poor mobility and vegetarian diet. This specimen was disturbed during its daytime sleep in the hole it had made for that purpose. Its reactions, which witnesses agreed were slow and intermittent, represented bewilderment only, not aggression.
Any armament on it, Bill?
I found none.
Reasonable care should see us through then. Shame not to work nights, anyway. I know Catty's been looking for an excuse to keep at it 24 hours a day, or rather, 33 hours, 9 minutes a day. I never can get used to that.
Oh, we'll see how things go tomorrow, John, when Shorty gets into the thick of that vegetation area.
Well, when can we expect the first attack by hostile creatures?
I'll believe in hostile creatures when I see them.
And when you do see them, old boy, a good long time before you see them, most likely, the old blaster will leap into my hand, as it did this afternoon, and the Department of Irenics, which means keeping the peace, I'd have you ignorant scientists know. Irenics will have come into its own.
Why do they give it any plain soldier fancy title like that?
Not my idea, Bill. It's to please the egghead that begs. Everyone on this trip had to be an expert, so we make everyone sound like a scientist, who must be an expert by definition.
By whose definition?
For heaven's sake, get to bed. You can't sit up three nights running.
I prefer to be up and dressed in the best if anything breaks.
Well, nothing will.
Now, let's give them a buzz. It's nearly time for their 2900 hours report.
All right.
Hello, scout car. John here. All rolling along merrily?
Hello, John. Yes, everything under control.
Fine. How's Marty? Fast asleep?
No, extremely active. In fact, he spotted some radioactivity nearby, and he's gone out to take a look at it.
He's got his walkie-talkie tuned into us, I hope.
Yes, of course, John, you old nursemaid.
Much in the way of radiation.
Very slight. The going's a bit tricky. I think I'll return to the car and take a proper look in the morning.
We're not missing Lofty as much as we expected, John. The vegetation is pretty thick now, but...
John!
Go! What's that? Get away! Don't touch me! Oh, my God. Can you see him, can he?
No, his flashlight's out. I'm getting the search beam going. Yes, half behind a rock. Dead or unconscious.
Anything near him? Get the alarm going, Jacob.
Yeah, sure.
I can't see anything. I'll go and get him.
Stay put, Catty. I'm on my way to fetch you.
Nonsense, John. It's not far. I'm outside now. I'll keep talking to you.
What's the matter, John? Are we being attacked?
We aren't. Martin has been. Keep talking, Catty.
I can see nothing untoward.
What's the matter?
Hello, Doc. Sorry to drag you out. You'll have a patient in a couple of minutes. At least I hope you will.
Ah, I've got him. He's unconscious, not dead. He doesn't seem to be injured.
Can you lift him?
I can manage.
I'll get my stuff out ready. Get him onto that couch when he arrives, will you?
How's it going, Cathy?
Well enough. He has come around a bit and is doing his best to help me.
Good stuff. You know, I always thought this place was a bit too good to be true. 23% oxygen atmosphere, subtropical climate, no hostile bugs or what have you. Nothing to do but polish our brasses and stay sane.
Yes, well, I hope we can manage that.
Yeah, thank you for those kind words, Jacob. Hello, Catty. All okey-doke?
I'm just getting him into the car. Come on, Martin. I'll get that foot up.
How is he?
I can't tell. Apathetic. Rather as if he was drunk.
Right, Catty. When you're ready, switch all your machinery off and get back here as quick as you can.
Naturally. I'll call back.
Let's give him a hand, shall we?
All right. I'll take this side.
Steady now. We've got all the time in the world.
That's right. Mind the step. Yeah. Well done.
I've got him. This is Jacob Martin. Now, we're all here. You're absolutely safe now. Only a little further. That's right. You're doing splendidly.
He's been quite quiet on the way back. I wish I knew what happened. I didn't see or hear anything. It all happened so quickly.
Right, boys. Over here. Hello, Martin. I'm going to give you a shot that'll pull you around in a second. Just a tiny prick. There. Marvelous stuff, this. Heavy cobalt derivative. Now, here he is.
I dropped my torch. I slipped and dropped my torch.
Yeah, well, we'll pick it up in the morning.
He puts his arms around me. Lots of arms. Take it. And hail it.
And hear them mouth with tongues. Lots of tongues all wet.
Yes, but it didn't hurt you, did it?
No, it didn't hurt me.
Shocked.
Degree one. What do you think? Straight out?
Yeah.
I'll put him under and start rehabilitation straight away.
All right. There's nothing I can do for him in this stage.
Here we go, then. Another tiny prick, Martin. Fine. This one will take a few minutes to start working. We can get him to bed while we're waiting. Just a short walk, Martin.
All right. Off we go.
Well, what do you make of it, Bill?
Whatever it was, we'll have left traces. I'll go over him thoroughly as soon as Doc has his treatment apparatus working. Funny. There aren't any immediately visual traces, though. Have some coffee.
Thanks. Well, I wonder. Do you know what I'm thinking?
The roller?
Yes.
The roller is too huge not to be easily seen, and it can't move fast.
So you said before.
You must trust me, John, or at least trust my instruments.
Oh, no, don't be absurd, Bill. How's it going, Doc?
It's quiet now. Should be under in a minute or two. I'll get Jacob to help me set up my rehabilitators.
First class. Well, Bill, you'll be able to tell us more when you give them a going over.
Undoubtedly. A skin sample will establish that there are...
This one's mine, I think. No, it's yours, Doc.
Well, Doc...
He's dead.
But how?
It comes down to this, then. One, whatever it is likes the dark and stays away from the light. It attacks first when Martin drops shut up in the dark. A ventilator grill, which was its only means of entry and exit, presumably. Fantastic. But I'll remind you that we're not on Earth now. Three, it leaves no traces as Bill's established. Mm. Now, what sort of creature's that, Doc?
No sort of creature. Martin died of fright, beyond doubt. My view, there's only one answer. He went mad. I know Jacob disagrees with me.
Now, all of you, including Martin, had your psycho test 2 days ago. Now, I can't promise a man won't go mad any more than I can promise he won't break his leg. But I can say that there was no sign of it whatever when I probed Martin.
There are toxins which can drive a man mad, from poisonous plants and so on. If Martin ate or drank something I hadn't put through my screens,
oh, it... Oh, utterly out of character.
No, he wouldn't do that.
Some kind of gas?
A gas that only works in the dark? And you sampled everything in that room, Bill. One suspicious molecule would have been enough. No, we're up against an enemy. Something with intelligence, however rudimentary.
I'm rather with you there, Jacob. All right, this is what we do. We avoid reproducing the conditions of the attacks on Martin as follows. From dusk to dawn, we all stay in the family parlor, toasting ourselves in the cheerful glow of the nuclear stove, with two chaps on watch all the time and all the lights burning inside and out. And we'll encourage one another to think like mad. Any more points?
No, sir.
Okay. There's a day's work to be got through somehow or other. Everybody meet here at 20:00 hours. Terminate.
Right. Oh, what are you on today, Bill?
More experiments. Like to have a look?
Mm, yeah, sure.
In here.
Oh.
You look impressed, Jacob.
Yes, I am. What's it all in aid of?
I'm going to try my Domo's friend with the infrared neuroscanner. He's still a bit of a mystery to me.
Well, his appearance looks harmless enough.
Oh, yes. He's vegetarian, like all the nocturnals we've found so far. Typical of them. Interesting head, isn't it?
Yeah.
The eyes here are quite degenerated.
Mm-hmm.
He depends on these feelers for orientation. They're extremely delicate.
But, how do you catch him? He seems pretty agile.
Amazing luck. I was up in that vegetation area a few nights ago and nearly trod on him. I thought he was dead at first. He was so emaciated. Simple starvation, apparently. And yet, he was surrounded by his natural diet. Pursued there, perhaps.
Huh? Oh, yeah. Hey, Bill, you don't feel that Martin really was attacked, do you?
If so, it was by a creature of an unbelievable biology, unparalleled by anything I've discovered here.
So far.
Agreed. A creature of most unusual biology, then.
Any theories at all?
I wish I could help you, but there's so little evidence. I'm sorry, Jacob.
Okay, Bill. Well, I'll leave you to it.
I think the answer must lie in the state of Martin's mind.
Yeah, it's quite likely. Well, I'm off to the great outdoors to do some hard thinking. We'll talk it over tonight, Bill.
See you, Jacob. Now, Mr. Domas, we'll soon see what makes you tick. Pity you only tick properly in the dark, but we have a way around that. Blackout? In position. Good. Now, when the infrared looks at you, you won't know it, will you? And if you do know it, we have learned something. Now, the lights will go off in a moment, but only for 1 second at a time. Long enough for the infrared to do its work, but not long enough for anything else to happen. Anything nasty. I've thought of that, don't worry. See, I press this switch and the light goes out. And 1 second later, I press it again and the light comes on. I keep it in my hand all the time. Now, you ready, Mr. Infrared? Splendid. Now, what's this? What's happened to the... Where is it? Where is it? What happened to it? Get off! Get away!
I'm switching on the exterior flood beams now.
Thanks, Caddy. No reasonable precaution neglected. Flood beams on, 2140 hours. The night comes pretty quickly in these parts. Well, any ideas?
Not one. You know what beats me is that Bill could so easily have switched his light back on. Instead of which, he practically pulls his switch arrangement out of its socket, falls over and cracks his skull open. Him, of all people, to lose his head.
Ah, well done, Doc. Have a chair.
That's what how the thing got in and out.
That's easy. There never was anything.
Listen, Doc, let's try to solve this contradiction. Something that can't have been there but was there.
Delusions of some kind.
Yes. But something causes delusions. People don't see things that aren't there unless they're mentally disturbed or under drugs.
We know at any rate that Martin didn't see anything. In fact, if he had been able to see, he wouldn't have been attacked.
Well, this planet's full of creatures that can't see. There must be some connection. Now, look. Bill was telling me something this morning about that Dormouse thing of his, but I wasn't listening properly. Well, let's just assume that that Dormouse and Martin and Bill were attacked by the same enemy. Now, what the hell have we got in common with that Dormouse? In habit or in physiology?
It's a wild suggestion, Jacob.
It's the only one we've got. Now, why do organisms attack other organisms?
For food, or in order to be able to breed, or for fun.
You've left out one, Doc. Self-defense. That's the one, that's it.
Are you serious?
Can you hear something? Let's look.
My God, it's another of those roller things.
John, the reactors are in that end shed.
So they are, indeed. Well, we can't have anything happening to them, can we? I'll have to take a blaster to that lair, I'm afraid. Show me a minute. Don't get up to any mischief.
Well, can I come too?
Well, yes, Jacob. I can do with some moral support out of the way things went the last time one of these chaps turned up.
Well, he's horribly near that reactor shed. I hope you've got your torch in case he puts the lights out.
Everything's in the car, don't you worry. Let's have a spin at the double. I don't think I dare risk a shot from here.
Okay.
Right, Jacob, will you move up a bit to the left? I'll go straight in. Better be quick. Don't fire till I fire.
Right.
Oh, my God! The shed! I'm firing now!
on, quick, your torch! I haven't got mine!
I can't see! I can't find it! It's not my torch! It's something else! It's crawling over my hand!
No, no, it's your torch you got hold of. Your torch. Now hold on to it.
Let go! Get away from me! Get off! Get off!
John, listen. This is very important.
Where are you, Jacob?
I'm here, just in front of you. But I can't touch you. You won't know it's me if I touch you.
Oh, God.
Now, if you don't listen to me, you'll die. Now, we're going to walk slowly back toward the light over there. The internal light seemed to have survived. Now, walk slowly.
Can't we run?
No. We might fall or get separated, and running makes you more afraid. Now, John, you must believe this. There is nothing attacking you. You're imagining it. If you could see, you'd know there was nothing there. You threw your torch away because it didn't feel like a torch. Now, we're easily fooled when we can't use our eyes. Our enemy takes advantage of that. Now, keep moving, John.
Go on talking, please.
In the dark, we rely on our sense of touch, like the nocturnal creatures of this planet, like that dormouse of Bill's. Something had frightened it, like something's frightening us. Now, you must understand this, John. Its only power is to frighten. Have you got that?
Yes, sir. I'm trying.
Now, that dormouse was in the middle of a luxuriant vegetation, its natural food, but it was starving because its sense of touch was being fooled, like yours and like mine. Now, we started ripping up that vegetation to build our landing grid, so it defended itself same way as it defends itself against the dormouse, against being eaten. It attacked us through our sense of touch. It gave us delusions. Don't you see, John? It's made us think something horrible was touching us, and we were touching something horrible. But it's only a delusion. Delusion. There's nothing there, really. Nothing there.
Jacob!
Nothing there, John. I swear there's nothing there. I know there isn't. And I'm in psychologics, and I know. I'm Jacob Isaacs, and I know. I'm Jacob Isaacs.
There you are. Oh, come on, John. Not far now.
I can see.
We went the wrong way at first. Here's a torch, Jacob. Look. Oh, look, it's me, Cathy. See? It's Cathy.
Well done, Doc.
Only a few yards.
Once you understand what's happening to you, you're all right, you see? I'll tell you all about it. I'll explain everything to you.
Jacob's brought me home.
Yes, John. Here we are. It's all over.
Dark out there.
Hold him, someone.
Kind of creepy, too. If you know what I mean.
All right, I've got him. Just fainted. Pull that couch over here.
What about you, Jacob?
Oh, I can manage. You know, we'll have to extend that landing area in the other direction.
All in good time. Have a shot of this. There. My God, it's been touch and go, hasn't it, boy? Touch and go.
Touch and Go, a science fiction episode, was written by Kingsley Amis. It was produced by David Thompson and presented by the BBC.